Open now your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1239. Make that page 1238. And we'll be reading the first 10 verses. These verses we'll read responsively, taking note of the 9th and 10th verses. These verses being the text verses for this morning's message. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. And may we stand, as is our custom to do, for the reading of God's Word. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And let's pray.
This morning I'm going to ask you to just follow me as I read two of the verses. You need not turn to them. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Did you read that? My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. And this is my text, for when I am weak, then am I strong. I want to speak this morning on the subject, God's looking for a bunch of weak Christians. God is looking for a bunch of weak Christians, our Father. This last Tuesday I did something I've been putting off for a long time. I often, not often either, I'd say once every year or two, my schedule across the country as I preach on Mondays and Tuesdays will take me somewhere within 50 miles of the little place where I graduated from college and where we pastored first time full-time church. And I was in Shreveport preaching last Monday night, Tuesday morning. Shreveport, Louisiana is about 15, 20 miles on the east of the Texas, Louisiana line, and the college where I graduated is about 15, 20 miles west of the Texas, Louisiana line. And then I have a big four-lane interstate highway that connects the two, about a 35-minute drive. So I took Brother John Byler with me, a dear friend who is a testimony to all of us these days. I took Brother John with me on this trip, and so Tuesday afternoon I said, John, how would you like to see the first little church I pastored, and how would you like to see the college I attended? And he said, I'd love it. Wouldn't have made any difference whether he loved it or not. We're going to go anyway. But so I acquiesced and gave in and drove him over there, and hasn't changed a great deal, hasn't been affected a great deal by the building boom in Texas, because at least Texas town had 20,000 folks when I left it 35 years ago. And we moved from there to Henderson, Texas, then we moved on to Garland. But 20,000 folks 35 years ago, they've grown to 24,000, and they probably had more babies than that, but they and 24,000 people. And we drove together to the college I attended, and we drove out to the first little church. I told you about the other night, first little church where I preached my first sermon on a Sunday morning in a church, and that's the place where I just read a verse and hollered and read a verse and hollered and read a verse and hollered. And I drove up in the drive there and saw the little church. They remodeled it now, and it has brick instead of frame. And then drove out to the Grange Hall Baptist Church building, where it was 35 years ago. It's not there anymore, just an empty building now. And I said, "John, see that place over there, the woods over there?" He said, "Yes." I said, "That's the place, the place where I prayed. Oh, I went back in there and prayed through the night for God to give me His power." And I said, "John, see that house?" We were driving down Highway 43 out in the country, and I passed by a house. And I turned around, and I said, "John, see that house right there?" He said, "Yes." I said, "One night, the lady there, a young lady about 35 years of age, called me, and she said, 'Pastor, he's trying to kill me. Come quickly.'" And I went down to the house, and a fellow tried to kill his wife. And he'd gotten a gun out, pointed it toward her head, pulled the trigger, but there were no bullets in the gun. So he'd gone to get some bullets, and he said, "I'll be right back." And said, "You don't move now till I get back." And he said, "I'll be right back. I'm going to kill you." And she said, "Reverend preacher, what can I do? He's coming back to kill me." And so he came in the door about that time. And I got in front of her and put my hands out like that right in front of her. And I said, "If you kill her, you're going to have to kill me. And unless you go around the back, you can shoot her from the back if you want to. But I, you know, you can't take this hero bit too far, you know." And But if he'd gone around the back, I'd have stayed in the front. I believe in being a leader. I stood in front of her, and I said, "If you kill me..." But I said, "You kill her, you're going to kill me first." But I said, "Why are you doing it?" He had the gun pointed right at my head. And I said, "Why are you doing it?" "I won't tell you." I said, "I won't tell you four things." I said, "The first thing I want to tell you is that all of us are sinners, Romans 3:23 and 3:10. None righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And while he was holding that gun pointed toward my head, I told him the story of salvation. Wasn't long, he gave me the gun, got on his knees and bowed on his knees and got saved and received Christ. And the next Sunday afternoon, I was baptized in a pond behind his house back there. And he was baptized, member of our church and so forth, and didn't kill me, as you probably have noticed. But I got to thinking about those early days. I thought about I saw the little place where I drank the baptistry dry the first time I preached in a Methodist church. I told you about that. And I laugh. A lot of you folks are laughing. It shows you weren't here two Sunday nights ago. But I think I tell that story on the first and third Sunday nights. But anyway, I saw that little church, and I remember those days. I saw the little parsonage where we used to live, and I remember how on 11 o'clock on Saturday night, I'd open my Bible and say, "Dear God, you got to have a sermon for me somewhere in this Bible. All these verses and chapters, it's bound to be one somewhere." Did it again last night, by the way. And But I drove around, and I got to thinking how good God's been through these years. A week ago last Friday night, I preached my 42,500 sermon in my ministry, 42,500 sermons. And I got to thinking about this passage over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. "When I'm weak, then am I strong." And I thought about how good God has been and how I didn't know anything. First funeral I had, I'll never forget it. I saw the funeral home, Sullivan Funeral Home, still there. My mother was visiting us, and she went to the funeral with me. And, oh, she was so impressed. She said, "Son, I sat back in the back." And she says, "A great message." Said you had them all crying back where I was, back in the back. And I did. Had them all crying. They're crying before I got there, too, by the way. But I remember how I didn't know how to preach a funeral and my first wedding I had. A fellow looked at me and he said, "Preacher, if I'm nervous," he said, "it's because I've never been married before." And I said, "If I'm nervous, because I've never married anybody before, too." but never had. And saw the place where I had my first funeral service, baptized my first convert. She was two ladies, one weighed 285, one weighed 235, in cold water that the fire department brought. Didn't have any running water. The fire department brought the water for us and put it in the tank in cold water. First converts, one lady 235, one 285, baptized same morning. Both of them got the Holy Ghost too when they got baptized. At least they came up hollering, and I saw that place. And then your little soul this morning, would you get them after a while? But you know, I got thinking as I was driving back and as I was flying back, and I was thinking this week, no doctrine's more misunderstood than the doctrine of weakness and strength. We think, let's build strong Christians. We think, conquer your weakness. We think, I don't want to be a weak Christian. I want to be a strong Christian. Oh, God sees it just the other way. God likes weak Christians. God wants us to be weak. You say, preacher, what do you say? I'm saying what the Bible says. The Bible says, "In my strength is made perfect in weakness." Didn't say my strength is made perfect in strength. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And he said, I'll glory in my weakness. I take pleasure in my weakness. When I'm weak, then am I strong, he said. You see, God likes weak Christians. God wants us to be weak. He tells us to take pleasure in our weaknesses and tells us to glory in our weaknesses. Let me make just a few statements about that. We think of weakness as a hindrance, but God tells us that weakness is a secret of strength and success. And as our weakness grows, so does our strength grow. God does not strengthen us by taking away our weakness and putting strength in His place. Did you hear that? I said, God does not strengthen us by taking away our weakness and putting strength in His place. No, God doesn't. They both grow side by side. And as I get weaker, I get stronger. God does not replace... God does not... extricate my weakness, and God does not replace it with strength. God doesn't say, I want some strong Christians. No, no. You see, God doesn't build you up to get strong. God builds you up to get weak. It is not His strength added to my strength. It is His strength added to my weakness. See, God wants to increase your weakness, for the more God can increase your weakness, the more God can give you His strength. Then why church? Why the Bible? Why prayer? I'll tell you why. God's not interested in strengthening the Christian. God's interested in strengthening the union between the Christian and Jesus. Let me say it again. It is not you God wants to strengthen. It is your union with Christ God wants to strengthen, because your union with Christ is what causes His power to flow through you. God blesses weak Christians, and God strengthens weak Christians in God. Now, I'm not talking about Christians that are backslidden. I'm not talking about worldly Christians. I'm not talking about sinful Christians. I'm talking about the fact that God wants to make you weak. And when you get weak, then God comes to use you. If you want to apply for welfare, you don't put on a tuxedo and a diamond ring, a diamond studded watch, and go down to the welfare place and walk in and say, how do you do? I'm Will Levins, Ph.D. I'm president of Hiles Anderson College. I'd like to apply for food stamps. That's not the way you got food stamps, Doc. You got food stamps because of what we pay at the college. That's why. But you go down there and you have a diamond studded ring, and you flash your ring and flash your diamonds on your watch, and you got your tuxedo on, and you point your Cadillac out in front and say, I want food stamps. Sorry, you don't qualify food stamps. You're not poor enough. No, when Doc went down, he wore overalls and holes in his shoes and looked like he does now as far as his face is concerned. And he said, I want food. That's the way you get food stamps. You can be too rich to qualify, and you can be too strong to qualify for God's strength too. God says, if you're weak, I'll make you strong. God says, I want you to take glory in weakness. And I do not grow in strength. You grow in grace. And in case you want God to use you, don't say, oh, God, make me strong. No, you say, dear God, help me to be weak and make my weakness cause me to have a tie with you and a union with you that will cause me to rely upon you. I was thinking as I looked in that little wooded area out yonder where the day my father died with a heart attack, I told John Byler the story. I said, John, that wood right out there, I was praying in the wee hours of the morning. The sun was coming up. over the pine thickets of East Texas. And I threw myself on my face and I said, oh God, I've got to have something. I hadn't eaten much and I'd lost a lot of weight and I was begging for God's power. And I said, oh God, I've got to have something. I've got to have it. I've got to have it. And I said, whatever the price is, I'm willing to pay it. And I threw my face down, fell face down on the sand hills of East Texas. And I said, dear God, whatever the price is, I did not know what the price was going to be. I did not know. But in less than 4 hours, my phone rang. And a man said, your dad just dropped dead with a heart attack. And there I was, hungry and tired and had lost weight. And I threw myself at God's mercy. And God seemed to say, son, I've been trying to get you here for a long time. If God can get you weak, and you know you're weak, and you know you can't make it yourself, God can make you strong then. And my ministry, it catapulted and began to grow, and the blessings of God began to come. Why? God doesn't bless strong people. God blesses weak people. Are you here this morning on your last leg? And your burdens are too hard to bear this morning. You qualify for divine aid. I got good news for you. You qualify. You weak enough to get divine aid. Do you wonder this morning how you can face tomorrow? You wake up in the morning and wonder if wish it was all a dream? You wake up and don't want to wake up and want to go back to sleep and want to say, no, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. It couldn't have happened. Is that the way you woke up this morning? Huh? I got news for you. You qualify for divine aid. God says when you're weak, then you're strong. This morning, do you have your heart breaking? Do you wonder how you can face the day? And is your heart hurt on the inside this morning? And you don't know how you'll put the pieces of life back together? You wonder? I got good news for you. You qualify for divine aid. Are you rearing your children by yourself? Did your husband pass away in the empty place at the table? Or maybe your husband left you and you got the children by yourself? The lady came in last night. We had an appointment I admire so much. Left with just a daughter to rear years ago. And now through these years, she's been a mother and a father. And she's had to do the mother's duties and the daddy's duties. And she's had to rear a lovely daughter by herself. But what a fine daughter she has, and how proud of her she is. And now she's up in college, and she's done such a good job. And time again, she's come to my office and said, preacher, what do I do now? What do I do now? I don't know which way to go. God specializes in telling folks that don't know which way to go, which way to go. That qualifies you for divine aid. This morning, are you waiting for the results of the test? There's been the test, and the doctor said it may be malignant. We don't know. Are you waiting for the results of the test this morning? And you say, preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do. How can I make it? And I want to throw my hands up sometimes. You qualify for divine aid. I was thinking, the most inspired special numbers I ever hear are when weak people stand to sing. I was down in the South not long ago preaching. Little lady stood up to sing, and she didn't have any training. Reminded me of you a great deal, and didn't have any training. And she stood up to sing, and she stood on one foot like that, and she's patting one foot, and she said, "I won't y'all pray for me. I want this to be a blessing." And she started to sing, and all of a sudden she couldn't. And but quite frank with you, I hate to say it, because I was saying, now why has she got to pat her foot while she's singing? Some altar key. Dr. Bob Jones then used to say, God never put a patting foot and a praying knee on the same leg. I don't say I believe that, but well, I do too, because Dr. Bob said it. But don't believe it. But anyway, this little lady patting her foot and she's wing-dinging it. And then all of a sudden she began to cry. And she said, I'm so glad I'm saved. She said, you knew what kind of life I lived for. I got saved. She said, I thank God. I'm so glad I'm saved. And then she said, I can't sing this one. She turned over to Amazing Grace. And in a sweet little soprano voice, with tears streaming down her cheeks, she sang, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath led us me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun, and not a dry eye in the house. You know why she was a blessing? because she got weak. And God said, think I'll strengthen her. She qualifies for divine aid. I was hearing a young preacher preach and down in old Pensacola, Florida, a few years ago. And I was the main speaker on the program. He was just to fill in before I got up, you know. And this young guy got up to preach. He was scared to death. He just shook just like that. And I was sitting over here. He kept looking over at me and just trying to figure out what I thought about the sermon. And all of a sudden, I saw something snapped in him. And he said, folks, I can't do it. I'm scared, Dr. Hiles. I'm scared, Dr. Hiles. He said, I'm scared to preach. I wish you'd go home. That's what he said. And then he said, I can't preach this sermon. And he just closed his Bible. And he said, I'll tell you what I can do. I can tell you what Jesus has done for me. And that young preacher began to tell how good God had been. And you could almost see him getting weak. And you could almost see divine strength taking place of human strength. You could see divine power taking place of human power. And that young man told how he had been on dope and how he had been down to the bottom. He told how when he was 4, 5, 6 years old, his daddy gave him his first drink of liquor and made him drunk. And he said, I didn't know what it was to go to church. And he said, my life is wrecked and ruined. And at that time, he didn't know Brother Hiles was there. And he's preaching up a storm. Then he got back to the original sermon. And he started preaching. And by the time he got through, he sat down over here, and I sat up here. And I was scared to preach with him in the audience. Why? Because God had given him strength. Let me testify this morning to tell you how good God is to give strength to weak people. You don't have to be a strong Christian to be used of God. You just give God your weakness and yield to the Holy Spirit and let God's strength take over when your strength is gone. I know I can say this. As I sat there in the car and looked at that little church where I preached my first sermon. And I remembered how I begged God to help me. And I remembered how I said, oh God, I don't know how to preach and I don't know what to say and I don't know how to do it. You got to help me. And I remembered how through the night I prayed and early that morning. I remember how I threw up. I absolutely just threw up. And I went to the pulpit and I tried to preach and I did. And God gave me strength. And I thought, a week ago last Friday night in Cleveland, Ohio, at the Cleveland Baptist Church in Cleveland, Ohio, I preached my 42,500th sermon. How good God has been. And I just praised Him and lifted my hands in the hotel room that night and said, how good God has been. When I'm weak, then am I strong. I cry for help more than I did then. I really do. I believe I cried for help more last night than I did 35, 40 years ago. Why? Because God does not use strength. God uses weakness. God uses those who are weak. And the union between Christ and us is strong. Not our strength, our strong union, our strong close tie. And God comes this morning to you with a broken heart and says, are you weak? You qualify for my help. Are you sick? You qualify for my help. Are you lonely? You qualify for my help. And God comes and gives strength. And God gives power. That's why he said the Apostle Paul. Paul said, my strength is made perfect or mature in weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in weakness, for when I am weak, then am I strong. I thought of the day 20 years ago. Well, this week I've had a little bug. Little bug, nothing. I've had a whopping big bug. From the broadcast Friday morning, from the broadcast, I went to the bathroom. And I made an altar out of the commode there and hung my head over the commode. And I deposited much throughout the day there. I vomited. And I vomited. And I vomited. And I lost 32 pounds right there, give or take a few. And my soul, for 5 hours, it's just every 10 minutes. And I was really sick, fella. Thank you. God bless you. And then through the night, my fever rose all the way to 96 and 97. I guess I had about 102 fever. That's 102 fever. And I Got up over 102 for a while, or two for a while. And but I had this, I guess it's just the stomach bug, I don't know. But I got to thinking yesterday. I got to thinking. 20 years. I said I got to thinking, and one of the fellows said, amen. Do you know the last time, Brother Johnny, that I missed it? Look, you don't, if you don't know me, you don't understand this. But I preach tomorrow and again tonight and again tomorrow. I fly to Pennsylvania tomorrow, preach tomorrow morning. I preach tomorrow night. I'm sorry, tomorrow night. I preach Tuesday morning, then Tuesday night. I fly back here Wednesday. And then Thursday is my annual 4th of July trip to the Bill Rice Ranch for Founders Week, and preach there Thursday night, and then again Friday, and then Friday night. Come back here Saturday, preach here. You know, with that kind of a schedule. Brother John, do you know it's been 20 years since I missed a meeting? It's been 20 years since I... And I'm talking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 20 years since I've missed church. I haven't had to stay home sick in 20 long years. And I got to thinking how good God has been. The last time I missed was on a Sunday morning about 20 years ago. It was the Sunday morning before pastor school. And I was too sick to care if I lived or died. And I stayed home that morning about 20 years ago. And then that Sunday, the pastor school started Monday night. We had the Knights of Columbus building across the street. We bought Knights of Christ building. We changed the name to Knights of Christ building so we keep the sign, KC Hall. And the first session was over there. Just a handful of people showed up at pastor school. I remember I came, had 103 fever. And I said, dear God, I'm going to lean up against the pulpit like this and preach. And I said, just help me just one time. Just one time help me. And I'll talk to you about next time when I get through with this one time. I leaned up against the pulpit with 103 fever on a Monday night, starting pastor school. And about, I guess, 250, 300 pastors here from all over America. And I leaned up against the pulpit and taught. And the next morning I got up and I said, now God, help me to have just one time. I ask you, just let me have this first session. That's all, the first session. Leaned up against the pulpit and preached the first session. And then next thing I knew, it was Friday afternoon and pastor school was over. And I remember over in the, we had the meeting over in the annex. We had meals over there. And after this closing of pastor school, had a session over there. And an old preacher stood up, I guess 75 years of age. And he said, before I go, I've got to say something. I said, you go right ahead, brother. He said, well, I couldn't have heard this 50 years ago. He said, I've learned enough this week to have helped my ministry. But I didn't know it. He said, all these wasted years. 50 years ago, I couldn't have heard this. And young preacher after young preacher stood up and began to testify what a blessing this week had been to him. And I was walking down this ladder right here, the annex, and I was praising God because of God's blessings that week. And I'd forgotten I was sick, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, I'd been sick. I had 103 fever Monday. Wonder if I still got it. I'd forgotten. God had lifted me out of myself. And, you know, that's the first time, Doc, I ever took my shoes off out here in the alley and shouted. I've done it many times since. But it's the first time I ever did. I took my shoes off and put them on my hands and clapped them together and ran up and down the alley praising God for His goodness. Let me tell you something. We serve a wonderful God. We serve a wonderful God. God's not looking for big, handsome people. God's looking for weak people. That's the kind God can use. God gets all the glory that way. God's not looking for smart people. God's looking for dumb people. And God gets all the glory that way. God's not looking for mighty strong. No, God's looking for weak people. God said, if you, hey, come, you weak folks. I want to use you. God gets the glory that way. Come, ye sinners, poor and needy. Jesus' blood can make you free. Come, weak Christian, and cast yourself upon Him. And God's mighty power can flow through you. And God's mighty power can use you. I stand here this morning, and I guess it's because I was back to my roots this week. But I stand this morning to tell you, you're not listening to a great preacher. You're listening to a poor little fella who came from a little East Texas country background, who was a little country preacher. When I went to college, college. I saw this week. I majored in Bible and also majored in secondary education, and even got my certificate in secondary education, earned it so I could teach school, because I knew I never would pastor a church big enough to pay me a full-time salary. So I'd planned to be a little country preacher back in the backwoods somewhere and teach school during the week and be a preacher on Sunday. And I saw those places, and I said, how good God is. God uses weak people. We see a person come down the aisle, big, good-looking guy come down the aisle, about 6'4" tall and big, broad-shouldered and handsome countenance and strong body. Boy, oh boy, God can sure use him. If he can get weak enough, he can. Yeah. I thought about little old Lynn G. Broughton. Weighed less than 100 pounds. Used to pastor the biggest church in Georgia then, the Atlanta, Georgia. Tabernacle Baptist Church there in Atlanta, Georgia. Little Lynn G. Broughton. Weighed less than 100 pounds. He was having a debate one time with a big fellow, I think named John Smith. And John and Lynn G. Broughton, oh, he was winning the debate. And this guy got up, big old guy got up, and he said, why, you little runt? Pointing to the preacher, Lynn G. Broughton, said, you little runt ought to chew you up and swallow you. Little Lynn G. Broughton got up, and he said, if you did, you'd have more brains in your stomach than you do your head. When God wanted to save a country, God didn't go to some big theological seminary somewhere and choose out of that theological seminary some great prospect for the ministry. When God wanted to change a country, he went out in the left field of the Chicago White Sox and got a drunk and sent him down to Pacific Garden Rescue Mission. He stumbled in a drunken bum and stumbled out a new creature in Christ, and he shook the country for God. When God wanted to save Israel, he didn't go to the great training station, the West Point of Israel, to save Israel. He went to the little run of a fellow named Gideon hiding behind the wine press. When God wanted to deliver his people from Egyptian bondage, he didn't go to the Yale or the Harvard of the day to choose some mighty giant. He went out and got a little slave lad whose mama had put him in a little ark and dabbed it with pitch and bull made out of bulrushes and put it in the Nile River and said, oh, come take care of my boy. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God wants to give power to weak people. And this morning I'm talking to somebody. Your heart is broken and you don't know how to face tomorrow. Good. You qualify for God's power and God's strength. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Let me tell you over here in this section over here, you precious people, educable, slow people, God love you. God can use you. And God can use you bus kids, and God can use you deaf people, and God can use the blind, and God can use the poor and the halt and the maimed. When God wanted to save a whole continent and rim the Mediterranean Sea, God didn't choose some big mighty giant. He chose a little bitty fellow with big bug eyes who had a squeaky voice named Paul, and that young little fellow, the least likely of all, little fellow in the Mediterranean Sea and spread the gospel to the Western world. Thank God this morning, when I'm weak, then am I strong. I got out of the car and I went into the telephone and I picked up see, John Byler's crippled. John's wealthy, but he's had some serious surgery. And he's almost paralyzed from his waist down. And truly pitiful. He's a tremendous guy. One of the finest Christians you ever meet. But he's on crutches. And I went in the telephone booth. Got a telephone. Got a little directory. And I wanted to see one of my old members. And so I decided to look up the address of the chairman of my deacon board back yonder 35 years ago. Name was L.G.E. He's a one-legged man. He had one crutch, had one good leg, and the other leg is the crutch. And he'd put that leg up there just like that on the pew while I was preaching. And while I was preaching, he'd bring it down. Amen! On the hardwood floor, and that old crutch would hit that thing. And amen! And L.G.E. Senior is his name. And I said he lived, the phone director said he lived 2005 East Grand Street. And so I said, John, I'm going to go out and see if I can find him. Went out there 2005 East Grand. drove up to the little shack of a house, and sitting on the front porch was an 85-year-old one-legged man. And I got out of the car, and I walked up, and I said, "Where can I find some whiskey?" He said, "I don't have any idea, sir." I said, "Where do you buy yours?" He said, "I gave it up 50 years ago." I said, "Why'd you give it up?" "Well, I made a fool out of me." I said, "Well, I just want some good whiskey." "You visitors, I'm just kidding now. I don't drink just good whiskey. I drink any kind of whiskey. But that'll be in the Hammond Times tomorrow afternoon." But I said, "You know who I am?" He said, "Don't think so." I said, "Your voice is familiar." "Well, man, I look just like I did 35 years ago. I don't understand it." And I said, "Don't you know who I am?" I said, "Guess at it." He said, "You Jack Hiles?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Tell your friend to come on in." I said, "He can't. He's got crutches." So one-legged man held that crutch up, swung it around. He said, "I chase rabbits with this." "Tell him to come on in." And I got to thinking how good God is from that little beginning. Are you weak this morning? Good. You qualify. God's not looking for strong people. God's looking for weak people who have a strong tie to Jesus. God's looking for people who are weak, who have a strong union and a contact with the Savior. And that's the way you get saved. You don't walk down the aisle and say, "Well, God, here I am, old boy. This is your lucky day." God said, "I'm busy. Get on out of here. I can't hear that screeching." But you come down this morning and say, "Oh, God, I don't know what to do. I'm not good enough to be saved. I don't deserve to be saved. I haven't done anything to be saved. And to be quite frank, I can't do anything to be saved." God said, "You've got to get saved. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Father, bless our people.